Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys Dan and Cass. Go Bucks!
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan, here with Big Cass. You smell that, Cass? It's burnt toast. It smells like Eli Apple in here. I mean, I'm sorry, my guy. I know you're a Bengals fan. I know Eli Apple. He obviously did not have the best game, but I have never seen someone in the history of the internet, especially Twitter, just take that much abuse on Twitter. It was actually insane.
Yeah, it was. Which I don't understand why Hardman from the Chiefs is talking smack, because he didn't do anything against Eli Apple. I mean, Eli Apple smack-talked him because Eli Apple backed that up on the field. But this guy wants to take shots at Eli Apple in the Super Bowl, who got beat by a very, very superior player in Cooper Kupp. It was a great game. I mean, throw Eli Apple to the side. I know. Unfortunately for him, basically his career is over when it comes to Twitter.
He's done.
I still think he's a pretty decent player. He had a solid season this year.
He's got to delete his Twitter.
Yeah, stay off Twitter, my man. He didn't play bad this year. I mean, he played worse on Twitter.
We talked about this prior to the show, but Jalen Ramsey had a worse game than him. He 100% did. I know the T. Higgins touchdown should have been not a touchdown, but I mean, Jalen Ramsey got burned for over 100 yards and a touchdown. Eli Apple just gave up the two short touchdowns, so it looks really bad on the stat sheet. But it was, I mean, the whole internet came after Eli Apple. We had obviously the Chiefs. We had the Ravens, like Lamar Jackson.
I don't understand that, though. I really don't, because Eli Apple conquered them. I don't get it.
Literally the whole internet. Let me finish. Michael Thomas, his teammate, was tweeting Eli gonna Eli, which apparently it's known that in practice, Michael Thomas used to burn him in practice and basically bully him. So that's kind of some beef, I think, right there, just from, you know, going up against each other for so long. And then we had actors like Wendell Pierce, who plays Robert Zane's on Suits. Shout out all my Suits fans. Or if you watch Jack Ryan, he's also on that. An actor was just old actor was tweeting at Eli, just telling him he's terrible. So literally, Eli Apple, just a rough Sunday, man. I just no other way to describe it.
I think he had a rougher time than Joe Burrow and did in the fourth quarter. Plain and simple.
Yeah, and I love Isaiah Prince. We give him credit. He's had a really good season from where he was at.
He didn't have a single false start in the Super Bowl.
He had a 15-yard penalty. But
that's because he was sticking up for his dude, man.
I know.
Aaron Donald cheap shot at Joe Burrow on the sidelines, and he stuck up for his dude, man.
But we saw this coming. I think everyone saw this coming.
Isaiah Prince for poking the bear.
When it was the fourth quarter and you have Von Miller, you know, pinning his ears back, just rushing the passer, he doesn't stand a chance against Von Miller.
Does any tackle?
No, I mean, I got to say, it was just not the greatest performance by the Buckeyes in the Super Bowl. Burrow was pretty good for the most part. Hubbard was solid. Von Bell was solid. Fuller didn't play.
I'm telling you, Sam Hubbard left everything out on the field.
Yeah, for the Buckeyes in the Super Bowl, though, I don't think I'd give it like a C-, honestly, just because with Eli Apple getting dragged. Only one with the Bengals not winning, only one of them got a ring. It was Fuller, who didn't play. And then Burrow, don't get me wrong, he's a stud. That was not, that still wasn't his best game, in my opinion. I mean, he only didn't have over 300 yards, didn't make a mistake, played well for his first Super Bowl. But I think he can be a lot better than what he was, especially in the fourth quarter.
Well, it didn't help that in the fourth quarter he had 99 and 40 all up in his grill the whole quarter.
Yeah.
And I mean, I still thought he made plays down the stretch that he needed, and it's just unfortunate. I mean, Samaje Perine got to dive after the ball, man. It's fourth down. It's in the Super Bowl. The ball's right there. You had a chance to catch it. And if they had just gave Burrow just a split more second of time, he had Ja'Marr Chase wide open because Jalen Ramsey fell down. Like, I mean, it is what it is. As a Bengals fan, I am super proud of them. I mean, you're projected dead last in your division at the beginning of the year. No one gave you any hope of getting to the playoffs, let alone winning the division. You conquered all that. You win the AFC on the road in one of the toughest environments in the NFL, and you lose in the Super Bowl by a field goal. I mean, you covered the spread. The last ten games of the season, you covered the spread. So, I mean,
the most important bet was Evan McPherson doing touchback on the first play. That's where all my money was. Touchback on the first play. It was like 26 out of 28 opening kickoffs in the Super Bowl have not been touchbacks. Evan McPherson, and trust me, people were giving me the numbers. I listened to part of my take. People were giving me the numbers saying, oh, no, the ball is different in the Super Bowl. I bet it. Evan McPherson got the touchback. We're 26 out of 29.
And got to experience Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, and Eminem.
That was a great, awesome halftime show. Top 10. I mean, not top 10. Top halftime show ever, in my opinion.
Knowing what we listened to growing up, that was number one in my opinion. Just because knowing that's the stuff we listened to growing up. There's been some great ones. You know, Prince out there in the pouring down rain in high platform shoes. Singing Purple Rain was great. There's been some great ones. And I Lady Gaga had a couple years ago. I still think this one tops it just because it may not have been the best stage performances, but I think overall, knowing that everybody in that showed up is what we listened to growing up. We got to see. And that's what, you know, that one that tells you how old I'm getting. I'm 33, you know, I listened to those guys in junior high and high school. So it's great to see that stuff. The days of the old classic rock, like The Who and, you know, other classic rock people up there trying to break a hip up on stage is over. And it's our generation time now.
I'm ready for the 2032 Super Bowl halftime show of Drake, Future, Fetty Wap, and Lil Dicky. Like, I think
Fetty Wap going to be alive?
And Fetty Wap is absolutely going to be alive. He might be in jail. Hey, we'll get him out.
Ja Rule out of jail for next year?
Is he in jail? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I mean,
he was part of the whole.
If somehow, some way, if there's ever a Super Bowl back near Ohio, you got to get Lil Bow Wow out of Reynoldsburg. Oh wait, he claims he's from Atlanta now. So next time the Super Bowl is in Atlanta. Got to get Bow Wow, man. Bow Wow represent Ohio. Hopefully the Bengals can make it there.
If there was a Super Bowl in Ohio, it would be like, obviously got to have Mecca Don, got to have like
Rascal. OSU marching band, man.
Come Rascal on. Flats and the best damn band in the land. That's all we can really provide from Columbus.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
From
Nelsonville.
What's she gonna do?
Just wear a nightgown, a evening gown dress, and
nay like stand a horse.
Great segue, right, though. Let's talk some Ohio State sports over the weekend. Softball, first in the FAU Fast Pitch Classic, had a classic of a series. For the softball team, way to be 3-0. The game against FAU got canceled, but they beat Northern Illinois last Friday 8-1, beat Bethune-Cookman 7-2, and beat Louisville 8-5. And then their game against Florida Atlantic got canceled. So needless to say, they end up winning that tournament. Great job for the Lady Buckeyes in softball to start the season 3-0 before they head as they, well, they stay in Florida, but they have another tournament. And I like their chances because they play two games. They play a game on Friday against Butler at 11 a.m. and on they play South Alabama at 1:30, so back to back. And then Saturday they play Stetson in Liberty, and then Sunday they play the Tar Heels. So obviously they play a lot of Southern, and this time of year when they start, they play in Florida and South Carolina. So they got some great, they got a great series coming up, great tournament, Butler, South Alabama, Stetson, Liberty, and North Carolina. So, you know, hopefully the Lady Buckeyes can continue that trend and get it going on the diamond.
And then I guess kind of segue to the baseball side of things. Ohio State opens up Friday, the 18th, 4 p.m., Port Charlotte, Florida. It's the Snowbird Classic, they call it. So they're going to play two games, one Friday, then one Saturday. On Friday, they open 4 p.m. against the Marshall Thundering Herd.
How about that?
It's going to be a high of 82 and a low of 65 in Florida on Friday. And then they play on Saturday at noon, quick turnaround, the Indiana State Sycamores, not Bishop Sycamore, the Indiana State Sycamores, noon. And that's going to be high 80, low of 61. And just put that in perspective, here in Columbus, it is going to be on Friday, high of 30, low of 19, and then high of 30 on Saturday, low of 18. So those boys are making out like bandits on the weather.
And on the lacrosse side of things, they are 2-0. They won, beat Detroit February 5th, 18-7, and beat Cleveland State 17-9. But they got a highly anticipated battle this Saturday at 3 o'clock in Chapel Hill against North Carolina. That'll be a great one. And they travel down to Naples, Florida on the 26th to take on Harvard. Spring sports are alive here for Ohio State. This is the first time we've really dove deep into spring sports. I think just adding to what we are with the Silver Bulletin, we're going to start diving into, you know, lacrosse, baseball, and softball.
I think we should go to a lax game as a podcast. Just one lax game. Like, they usually have one big lax home game year. Like, they'll play like a big program, like a Duke or someone at home. Let me pull up their schedule. I think we should dive in and go experience an Ohio State lacrosse game.
They got Notre Dame March 12th.
Boom. I don't even know. Is that a weekend?
Saturday, March 12th.
That is the game right there. That is it.
And they, during the Ohio State football spring game, which they used to do that double ticket, you paid $5, got to watch some lacrosse and right into the spring game. But unfortunately, they're in College Park, Maryland, on the 16th of April. That's a big time matchup.
If you talk April 9th, they play Johns Hopkins. That's a big one. I mean, they're always a big program. They play Sunday, March 20th, Denver. Denver's a powerhouse in LAX. They have some good teams on that schedule.
Of course, they got Michigan and Columbus Saturday, April 23rd, which that concludes their season.
I mean, Maryland too. Maryland's a powerhouse. I mean, that's a good schedule. I mean, if we're going by the, what is it, the LPI, Lacrosse Power Index, I'm just making that up. It's probably top 10 schedule. I don't know.
And they got Dartmouth too. They got Dartmouth Tuesday, March 22nd.
Rutgers is always a solid program. These are good teams.
Cornell.
I mean, they are not playing any cupcakes.
Ithaca, right? New York. Imagine going to Ithaca, New York on Cornell and play. But yeah, but Saturday, March 10th, 12th, I'm looking at tickets right now. The game will probably be played at the Woody. Oh, no, at their new lacrosse. Go, general admission. $8 a ticket. Go enjoy some lacrosse in the shoe. Right there, in the shoe.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Speaking of the shoe, April 16th, the annual spring game. Last year, 19,280 fans. Can Buckeye Nation beat that pivotal 2015 season of 99,000. Can they get 100,000 in the spring game for the spring game the day before Easter? Go to the spring game. Check it out. Two-hand touch football. Maybe a 40-yard dash. C.J. Stroud won't play. We'll find out who, if Devin Brown and Kyle McCord will be the backup.
We'll analyze every step and like movement from that game for 5 months until kickoff. It's the spring game.
I love the spring game.
I will say we will. I don't think we'll, unless we win a national championship, we will never come close to breaking that 100,000 record again for a spring game. I was there that spring game, the 2015. Gorgeous day. I remember
getting burnt.
Yeah, it was like a 75, 80 degree day in April. I remember tailgating it.
And you know what's crazy is ever since then, we haven't had a day like that.
No, we haven't. And I think the hype around that team too, because we had Braxton coming back. They were going to do the race. We were just national champions. There was so much hype. Not saying there isn't hype.
I think this year could get 80 to 85,000. Just because the hype of the offense, the new defensive coordinator, people want to see what type of formations this defense will run. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Ryan Day does a great job, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
I honestly thought the previous spring game, our most recent one, would have had a shot to rival the record just because, you know, we didn't get a game in the shoe for over a year because – thanks, Kevin Warren, for ruining everything.
Always goes back to Kevin
Warren. When in doubt, I blame that man. I thought we would be – like we would. I thought there would be a better turnout. There wasn't. I was kind of surprised about that. But maybe Buckeye Nation.
They only sold enough tickets to people who could actually go, which was first responders and hospital workers. Didn't.
And they were doing the renovations too.
Which this is the last game on the fancy faded scarlet turf too.
Yes, the laziest design. I missed last week because obviously I wasn't feeling well, dealing with a lot of stuff. But I'm sure you guys touched on it. But if you didn't, you did. Yeah, I just want to reiterate though. Ohio State literally took the easy way out. They literally just said, "Oh, this looks like they changed like two things."
I like it though.
It's simple. It's not bad.
I don't like. It's Ohio State. We don't need anything gaudy. We just need something simple. I do like the gray helmet stripes in the end zones. The Buckeye Leafs on the 35. They weren't warmed up to me. I like them, and I love the fact that they brought gray back into it.
It was such a minor change. I just want them to replace, make the field playable again. I don't even care about the design, but it's just the fact that they opened this whole thing up to thousands of people.
And I don't blame the athletic department. I blame the social media people for that.
Yeah. They hyped it up way too much.
Some of the designs that fans put out there were stupid.
No,
I would say most of them were stupid.
No, so a lot of them were over the top. Don't get me wrong. I think they should. I mean, the guy they ended up picking is a designer too. The guy, he's like a professional designer. If you go on his Instagram page, they should have just went with him from the get go and just not held the contest. Just be like, oh, we like your design. I feel like they would have gotten better.
They probably already did. It's kind of like when you go for a job interview when it's an internal job. And they already know who they want, but they're just doing the job interview just to say.
So they Rooney ruled us. They just tried to – they wanted all design. Yeah, I like – you're on to something. No, that actually makes sense because I believe that now. Because the guy who was a designer, to go on this thing, I guarantee you they contract them. They're going to go with his design, but they just made all us feel special. They Rooney ruled us. They just basically – it was a fake interview from all these people, all these designs, just to make us feel good. I believe that now.
Absolutely. Speaking of which, there's 7 months till Ohio State football before they kick off September 3rd against Notre Dame. And Big Cass, being the guy who he is, came up with, since it's 7 months, the top Big Cass top 10 number sevens of all time.
Seven Banks did not make the list.
No, he didn't, even though his name is Seven. At number 10, I'm going Jordan Hall, just because he was the last one to take a kickoff return for a touchdown.
He was sneaky good. Like, if you compare his career to Master Teague, same numbers, honestly. It just, he gets kind of overshadowed because of Carlos Hyde and Zeke, but Jordan Hall, very good career.
By the way, honorable mentions were Damon Webb and Jalen Marshall. Jalen Marshall was more famous for wearing number 17. Jermell Hines, number 10. Solid safety, made a lot of tackles back in the 2010s, plays on a Rose Bowl team.
Jalen Marshall also owes me $100, so he's not getting on that list. Continue, though. I'm never gonna not let him live that down.
Travis Howard. He played defensive back and up until 2012. Dude is solid ripped right now. If you go on his Twitter account, he was a pretty good corner. He wasn't the greatest, but he was pretty good.
Solid NFL career, like a 75 overall in Madden. Like, that's a good, that's solid.
Cornelius Green. He's corny. Number six.
Remember we got ghosted by a guy pretending to be Cornelius Green? So
that's why he made the list.
Story time for everyone. In the early stages of this podcast, like the first season, Cass tried to get Cornelius Green on the show. And we were going back and forth with this guy for weeks on Facebook. And Cass was like, yes, it's Cornelius Green. I'm like, great, let's get him on. And we set aside like multiple Wednesdays to get this guy on. Every time we called him to get him on the show, like he said he was going to do it, nothing. He never picked up. And I'm like, huh, that's weird. Maybe he's just old and doesn't get technology. And after like 4 weeks of doing this, I Googled the guy and I'm like, that's not even how you spell Cornelius Green. Like, his name's wrong. And we figured out it's just some guy pretending to be a Cornelius Green on Facebook, which
he's still on Facebook has people believing that he's Cornelius Green.
It's not him.
But I'm friends with two Cornelius Greens. One is the actual Cornelius Green. He doesn't answer any instant messages. And the other one always answers instant messages claiming he's Cornelius Green and always types in caps.
Yeah, just
– that should have been the red flag.
Red flag right there, bud. If someone's typing all caps, they're a bot. Like,
yeah. So number five, CJ – Joe Germain. Joe Germain is – what started setting the records at quarterback. He was a solid quarterback, won the Rose Bowl, won the Sugar Bowl. 98 season was spectacular. So Joe Germain at number, I believe that's, I did 11, by the way, by accident. I can't count. So Joe Germain was six. At number five is CJ Stroud. I think CJ Stroud has the potential to go move up on the list. If he can win a Heisman, take us to a national championship. He's had a solid freshman season. He's as humble as can be. One of my favorite Buckeyes on this team. Dwayne Haskins, just because he set the records again. He set all the records, 52 touchdowns. I mean, the dude just phenomenal. He's actually looks really good in shape. I know Chris Tomlin. That's the
pitcher.
No, Chris Tomlin is the
coach for someone.
Gospel singer.
Oh,
gospel. Mike Tomlin is really high on Dwayne Haskins, and I know a lot of people are saying Steelers are going to take Kenny Pickett, but now I think Dwayne Haskins might and Kyle Rudolph might have not Kyle Rudolph, but Mason Rudolph have something to say. Now, number three, we have Joey Galloway. Dude's phenomenal. Look up his. You know,
would be higher if he was a homer on ESPN. Would be higher if he, you know, was. By the way, they're virtual locks. You think my picks are bad? Virtual locks.
Joey Galloway's are pretty bad.
Do the opposite.
But at least he's honest. What I like about him, he's honest.
He's a good man.
Yes. Number two.
Terrible Ted, better.
Yeah. Number two, Ted Ginn Jr. I mean, what can you say?
Or Santonio Holmes, as you thought it was at the Oregon game. to be fair, they have the same haircut.
My brother says this. How the heck do the two guys have the same forehead be playing on the same team?
You showed me the picture, and I was like, oh, yeah, it's definitely Santonio Holmes. Like, I pulled up to him. Like, that's him. That's Santonio Holmes. And, like, we were so convinced. And then it took – I think Jamie pointed out to you. I was like, dude, that's Ted Ginn. What are you saying? So, shout out, Jamie. Thank you for putting us in our place.
And even Terrence Dials commented and said, where's Santonio Holmes? And at number one, Chris Gamble. I mean, two-way player. Dude was just phenomenal. Won an Addy. I mean, number one, Chris Gamble. I mean, not a bad list. I love the number seven.
I Chris Gamble for me has to be number one just because, don't get me wrong, Haskins, great. You know, the quarterbacks, they put up great numbers. But, like, what Gamble did in that championship year, playing both positions, we'll never probably see that again.
By the way, he was still held. The referee just called the wrong penalty.
Yeah.
All right. Basketball time. Hoop dreams.
Let's talk some basketball. So I was honestly shocked. We curb stomped that team up north in basketball.
I was shocked too.
I was not expecting that. I'm going to be full transparency. I thought they were going to stomp us. I thought after that Rutgers loss, I was like, oh God, here comes the slide. It's coming. Didn't happen. I love it. Then we followed up. I thought the slide was going to happen yesterday when we played the Gophers. And I'm very shocked. We decimated them as well. So
especially down 23-21 at half.
Low scoring half of the season for the team too. And
I go to bed and we won 70-45 and I'm like, what the heck happened?
It wasn't a pretty game. No one scored over 20. It was just a consistent EJ Liddell 16, Zed Key 9, Branham 11, Wheeler 13, Seti Russell, who has become basically what Justin Arendt is supposed to be. Between Seti Russell, just Cedric Russell, I call him Seti. Cedric Russell's shooting off the bench, and then Eugene Brown's defense. I feel like we now kind of have something there. With it until Arendt figures it out,
they're starting to gel. They got a tough one next week against Illinois. I know that. But they, you know, they got
Illinois just lost to Rutgers.
Yeah, that's true.
And Rutgers, someone texted me this. They said, my buddy Mitch texted me this. He goes, Rutgers might be the best team in the Big Ten right now. And I'm like, okay, calm down there, Mitch. And he texted me that after they beat us in basketball. I'm like, all right, calm down. And he honestly might have a point because
this is consecutive games. They beat Michigan State, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Illinois.
Yeah. And they beat
Purdue also.
Yeah. They're on a war path right now. And I don't know what is happening. The rack.
Cause they can defend.
Yeah. No, they beat.
And I asked the guys this last week and you didn't miss it. And I asked you this in our message boards too. There's been so many upsets besides at Ohio State. Ohio State's the only team undefeated at home, by the way. But the home team in the Big Ten has gotten so many upsets this year, especially Rutgers. Penn State just got one yesterday against Michigan State. The officiating down the stretch of games has not fared well against the away team.
It has not. No.
But this also tells you how deep the Big Ten is. You could literally get 10 teams in the tournament, in my opinion, that have a legit possible shot to get in a tournament. It's just there's not enough slots. There's 10 teams in this conference that are good enough to get in the tournament.
I mean, right now the top six can all win the conference. It's Purdue right now, Wisconsin, Illinois, Ohio State, Rutgers, Michigan State. Those six teams all have a chance to win the Big Ten in the regular season, believe it or not. And then obviously like Iowa, Michigan, Indiana, all solid teams. I think some of them will make the tournament. I feel like Indiana is probably the safest. Indiana or Iowa's the safest bet. Those Michigan, they got some work to do right now. They are kind of in shambles. But This is a really deep conference.
I still think Purdue wins it all.
Purdue is just so deep. I mean, when I look at how a tournament team's supposed to be built, they got everything. They got the size. They got the good guard play. They got. Yeah,
I was telling a guy at work that's a huge college basketball fan. He's a Duke fan. He's been a Duke fan for a long time, but he loves college basketball. And we were talking about Elite Eight teams. Like, who are our top eight teams right now? And I said UCLA.
Oh yeah,
Duke, Gonzaga, Purdue. Who else did I say? I said Auburn. I said
I got Providence. Providence has to be in there.
Well, Providence has been kind of trending down a little bit, but Providence right there could be there.
I think Alabama is a top eight team or top 10. Dude, call me crazy. They can beat anyone. They've beaten Baylor.
And I think Ohio State. Kentucky. Yeah. Kentucky. I like Kansas. Yeah. Those are my elite. I said those would be my Elite Eight teams. But I was like, but there's also another group of like eight or nine teams, like Ohio State, Michigan. Don't count them out. Michigan State.
Texas Tech is Texas pesky. Tech. Arkansas is Arkansas, pesky.
Tennessee. Like, there's a lot. That's what I love about this college basketball season. There's so many good teams, and there's so many decent teams that can make a deep run. There's not a great, great team in college basketball. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, it's. I mean, there's just some sneaky teams. I just pulled up. We're officially getting to springtime when I pull up the bracketology on ESPN. It's that felt really good. I'm not gonna lie. Pulling up Lenardi's bracketology. I feel like Iona, Rick Pitino's squad.
Loyola Chicago.
I would say Loyola Chicago. Because they lost Porter Moser. I would say Oklahoma, though, because they have him and they have a good roster. I think they could be pesky. Memphis kind of intrigues me if they get in because they have the talent.
Oregon could get in, but I don't know. Right now on the bubble, according to, I think, Lenardi, last four buys in, Wake Forest, North Carolina, San Francisco, Oklahoma, last four in. Iowa State, Creighton, BYU, Oregon, first four out, Memphis, Michigan State, San Diego State, Florida, next four out, Rutgers, Kansas State, Virginia Tech, Belmont, which I don't understand why Rutgers is next four out. I think they're locked. The teams that beat.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. He has Michigan over Rutgers. That's not correct. And also, Ohio State currently to him is a fifth seed. They'll be playing in Pittsburgh. Obviously, that'll change. But you can't tell me that Rutgers hasn't done more than – I would say he has Oklahoma in there as the last four by. Rutgers is definitely better than Oklahoma, and I'm high on Oklahoma. Also, North Carolina has not been good this year either. North Carolina has been absolute trash.
They've gotten some wins, too. All right. According to this is March Madness. The four teams, the four number one seeds, Gonzaga, Kentucky, Auburn, Arizona. I keep forgetting about Arizona, by the way.
I feel like Auburn is definitely going to be a one seed.
On this, Ohio State is the top number, is the last number four seed. With UCLA, Villanova, and Tennessee in the West.
It doesn't matter what seed we are. We're somehow going to run into a buzzsaw in the first round.
Which would be playing Vermont.
We're going to – yeah. I don't even know what their mascot is. The Vermont Mountains.
So, all right. So, according to this, it's March Madness bracket.
Catamounts. That's what they are.
This March Madness bracket. According to Stan Becton, the West, which is where Ohio State, we're going to focus our attention on the West. The number one seed is Gonzaga, two seed Duke, three seed Texas Tech, Ohio State's the four seed, five seed Alabama, the six seed Southern California. Like, did this dude literally just put let's put all these powerhouses in one bracket. Like you're talking Southern Cal 6, Marquette 7, Colorado State and Davidson 8 and 9, which Davidson's sneaky. The 10 seed Oklahoma, the 11 seed Loyola Chicago, the 12 seed North Texas, Vermont the 13th seed, the 15th seed Long Beach State, and then the 16th seed UNC Wilmington. Like what? Come on, Stan.
This is all going to change. This is all speculation.
It's going to change tomorrow.
It's going to change literally 500 times until Selection Sunday.
That's what we love about college basketball.
I believe we have a month until it, just about a month, which is – I can't wait. We're so close. And my fiance, she doesn't understand why I love March. When she goes to me, she's like – she asked me a couple days ago. She's like, Dan, what are your favorite months? And I go, I like October. I love May. And I go, March. And she's like, March. And I'm like, yeah, March. And she's like, why do you like March? And I'm like, the tournament. And she just doesn't get it.
The tournament means a lot. I have a shirt that says March Sadness from 2020. March is one of my favorite months, too. And you know why, too?
We'll never take it for granted.
It hits home, man. It's because of this. It's close because we need avenge. I wish we would play Oral Roberts again. Just throw them in the tournament. I don't care where they're at. I want a rematch against Roberts.
They will not be in the tournament, but we can get Texas Tech, and they have O'Banner, the big man from Oral Roberts. He transferred to Texas Tech. He starts for them. We got to beat Texas Tech. That's the closest thing we can get to revenge, in my opinion. So, I mean, it's just having – it was just so nice out today. It felt like March. It was like high 50s.
It's almost late February. Yeah,
late February, but it was high 50s, windy. You can feel the spring air a little bit. I had the windows open. We're getting close, folks. It's getting close to the time where we have to download the Bracket app and the March Madness app on our phone so we can watch all the games. We're going to get the Samuel L. Jackson Capital One commercials nonstop. With Charles Barkley, we're close.
We're very close. Which, by the way, if you played Bull Mania, we're no longer going to give you a prize because it's been too long and you never came forward.
Oh no!
But you can have redemption because the annual Bunch of Nuts podcast Bracketology Challenge will be available. Make sure you put your first and last name and come forward when you win, because this won't happen again if you don't come forward. I mean,
I'm dead. I completely
forgot. It's a month and a half since
I've completely forgot someone won our bowl challenge, and we have said come forward. We are not like, please come forward, but if you don't come forward, we can't give you the prize.
Like, I deleted the ESPN app. I mean, it's not my fault.
We've had it scrubbed from the internet. This did not happen.
It's not happened. I hope the men can get it done against Iowa and Indiana this week. I think they will. They have a great shot. By the way, my buddy from – actually, my boss, one of my bosses at work, bought tickets front row of the 324 midcourt for $30 a piece for the Iowa game. So the tickets are pretty cheap. Go to the shot. They're undefeated at home. See them play the Hawkeyes, and then dirt cheap on I think Monday or Tuesday against Indiana. So go check the Buckeyes out.
It's, you know what, too, everyone's really it's confusing because Indiana was supposed to be Saturday, I believe, and then it got flipped.
They flipped them.
Yeah, it got. I'm not gonna lie. I'm still confused what time the game's at because
Saturday's 2:30.
Yeah, but the score. So just be wary, everyone. the apps, I don't think, have updated fully, because I've been checking. ESPN says one time, the Score app on my phone says something else, the tickets say something. Just double check, because I'm not even sure. Just go to like Silver Bulletin or 11 Warriors. They'll have the right score. Check out their articles. They'll have the right time.
2:30. Have a great time. Watch play Iowa and Indiana. Make sure they come home undefeated. Bring some energy. Bring the juice. Get you a pretzel. Get you a popcorn now that they're
open. Concessions are back, baby.
Concession stands are back open. Go get you a pretzel or popcorn. Maybe
pregame at the Varsity Club.
Yeah, man. Big Ten basketball. Speaking of Big Ten basketball, the women's team are on a roll since they lost to Michigan a couple weeks ago, 77-58. They beat Iowa 92-88 on the 31st. February 7th, they beat the Black History Month game. They won 61-57 over Rutgers. They beat Nebraska in the RV Nebraska pink game. I believe that was for breast cancer, 80-70. They went up to Illinois, beat Illinois 86-67, and they play their arch nemesis, Maryland, because it's always Ohio State and Maryland.
Always.
tomorrow night, I'm not sure where this game – it's at Maryland, so tune in to the Buckeyes on BTN. Hopefully the Lady Buckeyes can get a win at Maryland. And then they're back home on Sunday against Wisconsin, so – go and enjoy the Lady Buckeyes and Fred McGuff. They're 19-4, but baby, 19-4 and 11-3 in the division in the Big Ten.
It's got some good sports going on. But I think it's time to segue into our final kind of segment. Just we had kind of neglected it because not a lot going on in the football world right now. It's kind of like kind of quiet. They're working hard in the off season right now. Coach Mick is just absolutely abusing these men right now. If you watch all these mat workouts these guys are doing.
Yeah, Tanner McAllister.
Yeah, I previewed the St. Valentine's Day drill as one of my articles. But, I mean, it feels like St. Valentine's Day Massacre week because they've been going and going and going on these workouts. But just what came up today, which was interesting, was – Gene Smith was talking about the college football playoff expansion, potential, expand the college football playoff to more teams, which would then allow potentially Ohio State to, you know, host a home college football playoff game if we, you know, make it. And he said he thinks it would be more beneficial for the Buckeyes to play in Indianapolis because it has a roof. Cass, I want to get your thoughts on this. I feel strongly that this is a stupid idea, but I just want to get your take before I go on a rant.
Of course, it's a dumb idea.
Okay, good.
I get why he said it. I really do. Player safety, if you have to go in and play extra two games, cold weather, I get it. I get what you say, but it's the North, man. If you get an opportunity and you're the number one seed and you get a bye, you know, possibly potential, you know, home field, and you're going to play like a 8-seed Texas A&M, you got to take it, man.
Yeah.
You got to take it. Bring Texas A&M up in the shoe, because I'm going to tell you right now, it wouldn't be an Alabama. The problem is, too, you look at it, do you honestly think the playoff committee is going to make sure that unless Ohio State went undefeated, is going to make sure Ohio State gets a Big Ten team is going to get a first-round matchup at home?
It's so like, true, actually.
Do you think, honestly, the playoff committee would sit and think about that? Oh, no. We're going to protect our players, and we're going to make Ohio State the 5-seed and travel to freaking Georgia as the 4-seed. And even though the Ohio State would probably be the better superior team on paper.
Well, all right, here's what I – like. If Ohio State's the only team that would do it in Indianapolis, like let's say Georgia does it at their stadium, but we have to go to Indianapolis, I think that's the stupidest idea ever, in my opinion. I would be okay with it if it were Georgia were to do it at like in Atlanta and then we'd pick Indianapolis. Or like,
if Alabama did Atlanta.
Yeah, then I could – then that makes sense and you make it almost more like the NCAA tournament where like you go to like a local site. But
honestly,
it's not home.
This is what the committee – this is what they should do. And I know as much as we would want a home playoff game, just make them all neutral site. just solve it. Make them all neutral site.
I'm fine with yeah. But I just think it's a stupid idea. If going to Indianapolis, going out of your way to go to Indianapolis, or just doing it at home, it's stupid for like.
Honestly, like think about it. You play the Big Ten championship in Indianapolis. You get into the playoffs. Your first round is against you're the number two seed, and you're taking on number seven seed. Let's say number seven seed, Notre Dame. Okay, ticket wise, the NCAA say, "Oh, dollar side, let's play that game in Indy." Like, you know what I mean?
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. It's not a smart idea from that perspective because Lucas Oil fits 70,000 people. The Shoe fits 104,000. That's about a third.
But if the NCAA wants control of it, they would want to try to make it. That's why I say
you're selling 32% fewer tickets, though, right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
But your margins have to be insane to recoup that. That's why I think it's a bad idea. One, two, making Buckeye fans and students travel 3 hours is just such an inconvenience. And then three, it's the whole point of home field is it's cold weather. What's the difference of them playing a late November game, you know, against that team up north or, you know, like Michigan State in the Shoe, as opposed to January? The weather's just as cold.
I get what you're saying. I really do. But what I think is going to happen when that, if it's a 12 team or 18 playoff, I think it should be eight. That's my opinion.
Eight's perfect.
Just make it all neutral site. Then you won't have to deal with this.
Yeah.
Make it all neutral site. But I'm guessing here's what you do. You don't make the top seed pick. You say, oh, no matter what, I'm just saying, throwing this out there, no matter what, like you take your four games. There's what? How many? If there's top eight, there's four games, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you pick. Here's what I would do.
You just do the bowl game. Bowl system. You do the New Year's Six, and then you rank your top four after the New Year's Six.
Yeah, and you just rotate them. So so next year, the Peach Bowl, and I believe it's the Peach Bowl and the Fiesta.
Just for example, I don't know.
And the Fiesta will still be your semifinalists, final games, but the other four, okay, Rose Bowl, Sugar, Orange, Cotton will be your quarterfinals.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. Like literally, play the bowl games so they have the bowls still have value.
And if you still want to do, and you still want to do traditions, like if the and what yeah. I would do your five Power Five conference champions automatic bids. Yeah. And then you three have three at large. So you could still do your tradition if you really wanted to. You could seed them that way. Because if you win the Power Five conference, you're automatically in. So you could seed them however you want. So if you wanted to do Pac-12 Big Ten, say Ohio State, USC is automatically going to be in the Rose Bowl because both of those won their power conference championships. The Sugar Bowl is the SEC and Big 12. Then the automatic bids are in there. And then you just take, okay, the ACC is the always goes to the Orange Bowl. And the and then you have your at large, the other three, you just, okay, the Fiesta is going to get a non-power five.
Yeah.
Like a Cincinnati automatic bid. And then you got two at large. So you'll say, okay, the matchups are going to be Ohio State, USC, Rose Bowl, Alabama, Texas, Sugar Bowl, Miami, Clemson versus
Georgia.
Georgia. And then you have Texas A&M versus Cincinnati.
Yeah, perfect. And then they play their games, keep your traditions alive. After that, you rank your top four. And then that should basically solve itself. We might run into a situation where Alabama loses a close one after being undefeated. And then it's like, well, do they still get in over?
No. You lose, you're out.
Yeah, it's basically, yeah. I mean, that I think that problem should solve itself. And I think that's the perfect way to do it.
Yeah. And you can still sell your T-shirts. Think about it. Ohio State wins a national championship in this format. You could walk away with a Rose Bowl championship shirt, mean, a Rose Bowl championship trophy, a Peach Bowl championship trophy, and a national championship trophy.
And a Big Ten.
And a Big Ten.
Four and trophies. Gold pants.
Gold pants. Plus, you get the crystal ball if you win the AP Poll National Championship.
Oh, yeah.
The five trophies? Come on. What player wouldn't want that? Like, come on.
I love it.
We got to end now. I'm going to Vegas this week, and I've never been to Vegas, and I've never been a gambler, and I've already got some money lines on me.
No, what you want to do, bud, first thing you do, go into your nearest sports book, and I'm glad you brought
the Lynx. I am at the hotel.
Hotel are you at?
The Lynx.
The Lynx?
Has a sports gambling.
Yeah, okay. That's where I went. Perfect. Go to the Lynx. Go down to Caesar Sports Book. Open up the book. They have college football futures. You can bet on the Heisman. That's where I won my Bryce.
By the way, Spencer Rattler plus 3,000 to win the Heisman. Hear me out.
Throw 10 on it. It's not a
bad. That's what
bet.
I'm saying. Throw I said 10. That at work. I was going to throw 10 on Spencer Rattler to win the Heisman at plus 3,000 right now. Because think about it. If he's at South Carolina, which is by far the best quarterback in the SEC East, who's the comparison? Stetson Bennett? He beats Clemson and gets to the SEC championship. He's a Heisman candidate.
I mean, it's possible if he beat. Yeah, he would have to beat Georgia because they played Georgia. He would have to beat Clemson. But those games are on the schedule. I think the Clemson game is winnable. That's very winnable.
You could
throw
Florida. You could probably throw Florida.
Florida's they're kind of down. It's really going to be. I mean, Tennessee might be the other good team in the East. Kentucky's going to be solid, but it's really if they can beat Georgia somehow, I think they could be sneaky. I don't hate that bet. I think even he doesn't even
it's
have to
only
make
10
it to
bucks.
The, he doesn't even have to make it to the SEC championship. All right, they could go 8 if they go 8-4 and they're ranked and he puts up really good numbers. I could totally see him winning.
Wow. Okay.
8-4.
He could win the September Heisman right off the bat right here.
Yes.
Because they played Georgia State. They're at Arkansas. They played Georgia. And then they got Charlotte, South Carolina State, at Kentucky, Texas A&M at home, Missouri, Vanderbilt, at Florida, Tennessee, November 9th, at Clemson.
They could honestly go. If they could somehow keep it close against Georgia or even pull off that upset and run that gauntlet, look out. I'm telling you, South Carolina.
They have Georgia at home.
I would honestly take their – they might have their over-under win total. Just bet the over on it.
Yeah, by the way, C.J. Stroud, I think it was the last time I saw, was a plus 225 to win the Heisman. But also, Joe Burrow is a plus 1,000 to win the NFL MVP next year. If he gets an offensive line, he has a great shot to win the MVP.
Like,
let me drop 10 on that too.
I feel like I don't know who's gonna win. It's tough. Lamar Jackson.
So I am gonna do a little college basketball betting. I've never gambled really before. So I'm only dropping like 10 bucks on these bets. Cause if I lose, I lose. I mean, it's no big deal, but I really like the Spencer Rattler one. I really do. The dude's got talent. I mean, Coach Beamer is a good, they got a favorable schedule. I mean, I know this is an Ohio State show, but I wouldn't win anything if I dropped money on CJ Stroud.
No, yeah, you're not going, you want to bet. Like, that's why I went with Bryce Young, because when I looked at the book, he was like fourth or fifth overall odds. And it was actually, I think DJ Uiagalelei had the top odds. And I was like, okay, definitely not taking this. And Stroud had, I want to say he had the third best odds, but I knew they were going to screw him if it came close.
Right.
And then Young, I think, had the fourth best odds. I'm like, okay, I can see that. That makes sense. And then Rattler was the favorite. He was the favorite, but I didn't like that he was already priced in as the favorite, so that's why I went Bryce Young.
Alrighty.
Yeah. But I mean, have fun. I'm sure you're gonna make some good bets. You're due. You're due.
Had some luck.
That's all I really have for today. Anything else, Cass?
That's all I got today. Everybody enjoy some college basketball this week.
Enjoy
some college basketball. I know no one's really watching the Olympics right now. I guess these were the worst viewed Olympics. And by the way, I'm a baseball fan. Please get this deal done. Please work hard and get it so we can get some baseball. If not, we're going to enjoy some Ohio State baseball as they get their season started.
I'm not against them canceling the baseball season because it just means I get to hold my fantasy baseball title for another year. So, I mean, it's, either way, we're good. I get baseball or I get to retain my title an extra year. So, I'm sitting pretty right now.
We do got some Ohio State baseball coming up, too. So
it's big time. But, I mean, that does it for another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. Thank you all for listening. Go Ohio State basketball. But as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.